Now, we are recording this, so I just want you to know that we are going to record this, and we're going to make it available on the church website and on the church app if you want to listen to it again. If you want a CD, you can let us know that you want a CD of it. So what we're going to talk today about is our church. And like we did this back in October, it was November. We did this in November, and we recorded it then, had a couple of another meeting after that. And at that time, we told you that we would be coming to you with whatever we were thinking as a leadership. And so the leaders told me in our meeting at the end of July that they wanted me to do this again. So let's talk about our church for a moment before I get into what I really want to share with you. For the last couple of years, we've actually, to be flat out honest with you, have been in decline. And there's really not any reason for that other than I can look and from a pastoral standpoint say it's a cultural thing. If you talk to people who went to church 20 years ago, they would say to you that if they were a part of the church, they were there every Sunday. These days, in this culture that we live in today, and I'm not the only person who's saying this, this is across the board with churches, okay? If you're there once or twice a month, you're a regular attender, once or twice a month. So commitment levels, as far as where churches are at, are decreasing. Now, the implication of that is, well, one implication of that is that we take a big hit financially. Just so you're aware, the last quarter, we were behind in our budget in a long time, $6,000 general offering. We've never been that far behind ever in a quarter. But in just a three-month period, our offerings normally, which come in, we were down $6,000, you know, where we typically would bring in. And just so you know, we're not dealing with lots of money here. We operate on a budget that's about $120,000 a year. And so we typically bring in about $28,000 a quarter each 3 months. For the second quarter, we only brought in $22,000. And so today, I don't know what the offering is going to be, but I know what we need, and I know that we need at least $3,000 in the offering today to make it. And so we've been borrowing against our own money. Did you understand what I'm saying? And that can't keep going on. So that's just a realistic picture. So, you know, Pastor George has to try to figure out what to do. Now, here's some things that Pastor George has done for 15 years, and I don't want to change that. One thing that is very indicative of our church, if you've been here a long time, is you know we never talk about money. We never put pressure on anybody here about money. Would you agree with that? Okay. I ain't about to start. But because we don't want you bringing your friends in here saying, well, all they talk about is money. Okay, so we're not going to do that, all right? The other thing is I don't like to steal people from other churches. Some churches continue to grow big by taking people from other churches. We've never done that either. And we're not going to do that as long as I'm here. But we got to survive, and we've got to be a church. So I'm going to point some things out to you here in a moment. I'm going to kind of remind us who we are. I'm going to talk about the future. That's really why the leaders wanted me to talk to you, is kind of give you a projection of where we are thinking we need to go in the future. But then I'm also going to talk about in the meantime. And the reality was, is when I wrote this message for the day, I realized that I preached basically the same thing just 4 months ago. Just 4 months ago, I shared about what we need to be doing in the meantime. And so I'm going to be reiterating some of those things. And because really, to be honest, I mean, let's just be honest, folks. We're at a crossroads as to whether or not we are going to exist as a church or not. You know, I said this. I said this to a group of pastors probably about 12 or 13 years ago. I was in a meeting with some local pastors here in town. And I said to one of them, the way our community is going, because, I mean, you just need to know that our area is decreasing in population. That's a known fact. Kerwinsville's population is decreasing about 10%. It decreased 10% in the last census from the census before. So what that means is for a town that has 10 churches, somebody's going to be closing their doors at some point. Now, I just never thought when I said that, that I thought it was going to be churches that don't believe anything. They'll eventually die off. But I never thought that we would be at a point where we would be talking about us. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, having said that, I believe we can make it work. We're at a, you ever get to the point where you've got to make a decision, you got to do something, or it's not going to work? Do you understand? And so then you do it and you make it happen. We're at that point. We got to make it happen. So let me explain to you why I'm saying that. Because I want to give us a reminder. I want to give us a thought for the future. And then I'm going to really talk about us in the meantime. Okay? Let's talk about a reminder. First of all, I've been here 15 years. In 15 years, the reality is that the culture of Clearfield County has changed. This is not the 1980s. This is not the 1990s anymore. This isn't even the year 2000. This is 2016. And people's attitudes about church and everything have completely changed. Christianity, I don't know if you've noticed this or not, is really on a decline in America, and the overall American attitude as far as what church is on a decline. It used to be when I first entered into, when I first got saved, okay, I got saved down in the South, which is the Bible Belt in South Carolina, and there was just an assumption that everybody just kind of had a respect for the church, had a respect for pastors, had a respect for Christianity, and you just assume. Back then people would say, what, you know, if you got a job, you went to church just to say you were doing the respectable thing by going to church. Well, that doesn't exist anymore. And it's not going to, we're not, first of all, can I give you a principle? You never go back. That has never happened in history to the way it was. The way it was is gone. So we have to adjust to where we are today. So what that means is we have to decide in a culture that's changing, what kind of church do we want to be? Do you understand what I'm saying? What kind of church do we want to be? And really, to be honest with you, as you look at our church, we are a very unique church. God has been moving us to become a certain type of church. So let me tell you who we're not to who I think we are. So first of all, here's what one church that we're not. We are not a crusading church. We're not a crusading church. What do you mean by a crusading church? Well, to be honest with you, a crusading church is a church that takes a stand. It's a church that's fighting the culture, standing up for this and raising the flag, the American flag, and being patriotic and standing for this, that, or another. We're not that kind of church. I don't know if you've noticed that. We're not a crusading church. We don't have an agenda to push politically. We're not into politics. We don't talk about politics here. Even in this crazy political system, situation that we've got going on this fall, and people are confused, don't know what to do, and you're not going to get the answer from me. I mean, I got my opinion, but here's the thing. You're not going to get the answer from me because that has no place in the church. And to be honest with you, statistics are showing more and more that among the unsaved, people who do not know Jesus, they identify evangelical churches as being right-wing politically, whether that's true or not. So we're not a crusading church. And we really can't be. But I'll be honest with you, crusading churches are attracting a lot of people right now. I'll tell you who they're attracting. Other Christians who want to be crusaders. Did you understand? But they're not attracting unsaved people. They're attracting people who think like them. We're not a crusading church. Here's the other one we're not. We're not a conforming church. You know, the crusading church is attacking the culture. The conforming church is embracing the culture. That's the kind of church where, you know, whatever, if we want to preach on this and we want to love everybody and who cares what you're doing and all of that. We're not a crusading church, but we're not to the other extreme where anything goes. And those churches are growing too. As long as you got a good show and a good encouraging message to encourage you on in the week, yeah, you've got people who are coming for that. But that's not who we are. And we're not going to be that. So you say, okay, George, who are we? Well, this is what the reminder is. We are a serving church. We're here to serve. We're here to love people. We're here to believe what we believe. And we do believe what we believe. We hold to what we believe. We teach what we believe. But we're not out to wag the finger in judgment against other people, but we're here to love them because we realize that what they need is Jesus Christ. What they need is a relationship with God. That, you know, we're not here to judge them because they're making their own choices. And we sadly realize that with those choices come consequences and destroyed lives. But we're there to help them, to pray for them, to love them. And I, to be honest with you, as I've been here, I believe that's who we're becoming. Do you believe that? Now, let me just stop for a moment. In our crazy culture, so this isn't Q&A, but I'm going to ask you a question. When you look at our culture here in our area, what kind of church is needed? Do we need a crusader church? Do we need a conforming church or do we need a serving church? What kind of church is needed? As you think about, and before you answer, think about this. As you think about the people that you love, the people that you are ministering to, the people that you connect with and interact with, the people that are your neighbors, the people that you meet at Sheetz when you go get your coffee or fill up. What kind of church do they need? Do they need a crusader church, a conforming church, or do they need a serving church? What do you think they need? Yeah, a serving church. Now, the question is what kind of church do you think we need to be? It's a serving church, isn't it? See, so that brings up a good question. I don't want your answer to this. This is something for you to think about. If you believe that's the kind of church we are, then you've got to make up your mind that we're what the community needs. Did you understand what I'm saying? That God has placed us here, because I'm going to be honest with you, 15 years ago when I came here, there were only 20 to 30 people. And we've grown up to where we were at 100. And we can't, and I've talked before about why we can't break beyond 100. But okay, God will deal with that issue. But now we're going backward. And commitment levels are down. And the issue isn't, well, I think you can figure out what the issue is. It's whether or not we believe that we should be here or not. Do you understand what I'm saying? I think part of what we've lost is, and why we need to be reminded, is we've lost an understanding of why we need to be here. Did you understand what I'm saying? Now, for some of you, if you're newer, you're like, well, I've got it. I'm here. I understand. That's why I'm here. But bear with some of us who've been here for a while, because we can lose the sight of why we're here. Do you understand? So, okay, let's talk about the future for a moment. Here's what the leaders wanted me to, they wanted me to convey a vision, and that's what this whole message is to convey a vision of what we're going to do. And, you know, when I talked to you back a year ago, you know, I presented the realities of what we were facing, what we needed to do, and what the church needed at that time was, the leadership needed at that time was a decision from you guys, and which was made to explore the options, okay? And but before we could explore options, we had to come to unity even within the boards itself. There's no sense moving forward as a church if the boards themselves did not feel a direction from the Lord. And so within the last month, we came to the conclusion, we all recognized this for various, and we also recognized why we decided we couldn't come to a unity, and I'll explain that to you. Here's what we decided, okay? It's the first point here. Our present facilities will not sustain our ministry. But they're not going to be able to sustain our ministry. We've got parking issues. We've got building issues. Our present ministry is not going to sustain our ministry. Now, when we talked about that, the reason why it took so long is two issues came up. Fear and a lack of faith. Fear and a lack of faith. Because here's the thing. When you're behind $6,000 for a quarter, what do you mean you're talking about we need to go somewhere else? That doesn't make sense. And to say God will do it, who's got that kind of faith? So fear and a lack of faith. Those have been two main things that have been actually, those are like the clouds that have been over the boards as we've talked about this. Do you understand what I'm saying? Those are the things that have been, so we came to a conclusion, we've got to trust the Lord. Because the men, myself and the men, believe that we are here for a purpose in this community. God has something for us. If he wanted us dead, why would he brought us all? I can't picture God as, well, we'll just bring them all to a church that's going to die and then they'll be miserable. Do you know what I'm saying? I mean, you guys can just move on to another church. I got to go find somewhere else to live in another ministry. I can't picture God that way. Do you understand what I'm saying? So we've got to trust the Lord. And what do we got to trust the Lord for? Here's the second thing about our future outlook. We believe that at some point, we must move to another location. We believe that at some point, we have to move to another location. That's down the road. We looked at an option within the last month. That option closed. With some of the men, we've looked at other options. They're either too far out or do not have the facilities or whatever for us to do what we need to do. So, okay, obviously, God, you're not opening a door, but we're going to trust you for the future. So what do we do in the meantime? So that's what we're going to spend most of our time talking about now. What are we going to do in the meantime? Because here's what we can't do, which is what we are doing. We're just kind of waiting around, waiting to see what will happen. And our commitment levels are down. And I'll be honest with you, in fact, this came out in our board meeting. Our joint board meeting, as the elders and trustees met together. We're dying spiritually. You want to write that down? Write that down. We're dying spiritually. Spiritually, as a church, we're dying. Scripture says, where there is no vision, the people perish. It's a pretty profound verse, isn't it? It's like we're waiting for the future. Okay, guys, figure it out. In the meantime, we're dying spiritually. So what do we got to do? We've got to grasp a vision for right now. I believe that we're going to be away from here at some point. But that might be 10 years. And if we kind of wait around for the 10 years to show up, you can guess what's going to happen, right? So somehow we got to make it, because I don't know if you've noticed, folks, but we do have an awful lot of empty pews here this morning. And if I took a look out at the parking lot, we got room for about, holy cow, I didn't realize that. Makes my point, though. I can remember when the parking lot was filled with cars. But it's not. Did you see what I'm saying? So we've got to have a vision. If we really believe what we just said about the reminder about why we're here, that we're to be a serving church in this culture, so what do we do in the meantime? Okay? Well, let's look at God's Word. This is a letter that was written to some exiles who were taken from captivity. Their situation was a lot terrible than our situation is. And they were taken to Babylon, a place they didn't want to be, facing some difficulties. And the prophet Jeremiah writes them a letter. And he tells them what to do in the meantime, because God's got a plan for them in the future, but this is what you got to do in the meantime. Okay? Just look with me, verse 4 of chapter 29, Jeremiah. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all who were carried away captive, whom I've caused to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and dwell in them. Plant gardens and eat their fruit. Take wives, begat sons and daughters, take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that you may increase there and not diminish. And seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captive, and pray to the Lord for it, for in its peace you will have peace. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets and your diviners who are in your midst deceive you. Listen to your dreams which you've caused to be dreamed. For they prophesy falsely to you in my name. I have not sent them, says the Lord. Now listen to what the Lord says. For thus says the Lord, after the 70 years are complete at Babylon, I will visit and perform my good work towards you and cause you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. I just want to give you three thoughts, and I'm going to expand upon these as we go through them, about what do we need to do as a church in the meantime. Here's the first one. It really comes out of verses 4 through 6. He tells them, go ahead and live life. Have sons and daughters. Give your sons and daughters. Increase. From that, I give you this point. This is what we need to do. We're going to have to make it work while we are here. You know what, folks? Yes. We got a parking problem. Actually, right now, we don't have a parking problem. Okay? Yes, we've got a building issue. Yes, we got a reputation issue, which, okay, just so you clarify to people who say, oh, well, it's not really an issue, I still have people talk to me. They'll ask, where are you from? Curwensville Christian Church. Oh, who's that? Well, where is that? I tell them where it is. Then, oh, Calvary. Then they tell me. Okay? And it's like, for some reason, we can't get rid of that. Okay, that's reality. But here's the thing. So what do we do? Do we sit back and say, I guess we'll never overcome reality till we move? When we're going to move? I don't know. We got to make it work in spite of those things. We got to make it work. We've got to increase. We've got to do our part, whatever that part is. We've got to do what we can, and I believe we can do it here. We've done it for 15 years. There have been several times where we've come up to the 100 point and had to back down. And yeah, the problems caused it to back down, but we at least need to get back up to the 100 point again. Why? Because, first of all, if we don't, we can't financially sustain ourselves. Folks, I'll be honest with you, we need $10,000 a month, budget-wise. That's our budget, $120,000, $10,000 a month. When the offerings sometimes here in the last few months have been what they were, listen to me, what they were when we had 20 or 30 people 15 years ago for a month, that's not good. We can't do that. Because back then, I got paid half what I got paid, and when I first started here, I had to get a second job. Did you understand? So, we got to make it work. Second thing I want you to see here in this passage. Our focus as a church must be outward. He tells them, and seek the peace of the city where I've caused you to be carried away captive, and pray for it, for in its peace you will have peace. The perspective there is, he didn't just want them focusing on themselves, he wanted them to focus outward. Folks, we have got to be an outward-focused church. Okay, what does that mean? People are not going to show up here because they came across our Facebook page. People are not going to show up here because they happened to listen to WCPA on Sunday morning and there was George on the radio. They're not going to show up here because of that. They're going to show up, and I just read something just yesterday. Even in this culture, interpersonal relationships are still the number one factor of why people will come to a church. The reason why someone will come to the church is because you invite them. Because you're concerned for them. And because you know that they'll find an answer here. That's the number one. We've got to be outward focused. We just can't take it for granted. You've got to be reaching out. Well, I've asked. Yeah, a few of you have asked, but some of you don't ask. We've got to be outward focused, but we've got to do, each of us, I've got to do my part, you've got to do your part in reaching out to people and what? Because wait a minute now, let's get back to what we were just talking about. Did we not just say that our community needs our type of church? Did we not just say that? So do your friends need this kind of church? I hope they come across the Facebook page. Do you know what I'm saying? And I think we know that. I mean, if I got a truck problem, hey, Brad, who do you suggest I go to for a mechanic? And Brad will tell me. 9 times out of 10, I probably will go to Brad's suggestion because I know Brad, not because I heard the ad on the TV for another mechanic. Do you understand what I'm saying? In the meantime, folks, we got to make it work. We've got to make it work, and we've got to increase, and we've got to be outward focused. We've got to be outward focused. Here's the third thing. We're going to have to trust God's timing for the future. Yes, I told you that it is our thought that if we get back up to where we are 100, we're not going to be able to sustain ourselves in this facility. But we're not at that point. But if we get back up to that point, we know that we're going to have to look beyond where we are here. But that's in God's timing. We're going to have to trust Him for that. But here's one thing I've learned, okay? God is the one who gives us everything. God is the one who blesses us. God is the one who even brings people. But He needs to see effort on our part as we work with Him. We need to be praying. We need to be doing other things. And I'll talk about that in a moment, because here's my conclusion, and then I'll open it up for Q&A. What do we do with this? What do we need to do here? Well, two thoughts I have in conclusion. Number one, it's going to take more than just attending. It's going to require more than just attending. It's going to require, if this is what you, if you're, it, first of all, you've got to, before I explain this point, let me just ask you a question. Do you catch the vision of what's going on here, of the type of church we are? I mean, George, when I first came here, I wore a suit. For the first 5-6 years, I wore a suit. I even wonder sometimes, should I go back to the suit? Because maybe we would attract those kind of people. Do you want me to attract those kind of people? Where that's an issue? I don't think so. Maybe you are wanting me to go back to suit. Well, talk to me later. Okay. Do you catch a vision of, we don't talk about money here, we talk about Jesus. We're not political here. We talk about Jesus. We talk about people finding healing in their lives through Jesus. We talk about Jesus. We are trying to serve the community. We talk about Jesus. If you catch the vision of that, it's going to require, listen, more than just attending. What do you mean by that? Well, I'll just throw some things out. This is not what I'm saying everybody should do, because some of you can't do it, but you need to at least hear me say this, okay? It's going to require volunteering. Volunteering. Helping out. It's going to require praying. That's the biggest one of all. Nobody here can say, well, I don't think I can help with that one. Yes, you can. Here's the thing that I've realized over the last 4-5 months, more than anything that is being required of George with regards to our church, am I praying about it? Am I talking to God daily about our church? God has brought us to the point where it's like, Lord, we need you to show up. Are you praying? In fact, I have a prayer card. I gave a card out a year ago, and it's similar to that card, although I've changed some of the prayer requests. In fact, Sam, can I get you to help me? Can we pass those out? Okay. All right. I even made it look nice for you. It's not the old other one. I've even got, it's got a little bit of a graphic, and it's colored, and it's called Praying for Our Future. And I have 7 days of just a simple thing to pray for our church. Let me also tell you that if you have the church app, If you go to the church app, if you go to the More section, you'll see praying for our church guide. You'll see the very same thing right there that's on the card on the church app. Okay? So it's right there for you to pray for our church. I'll talk to you about prayer in a minute. But praying, here's something else. Giving. Enough said there. Inviting. I've already talked about that. You can invite somebody out. In fact, I thought it's interesting. I just saw, I've been reading, 80% of our friends might come to church if we ask them. Well, they keep telling me no. Well, maybe you are focused on the 20%. You need to get to the other 80. It's going to take more than just you sitting in a pew. And it's easy to do that. It's easy. You've been working all week. You've been hard. But if we're going to make it as a church, folks, it's going to take more. More than just attending. If you look at them, it says, nothing of eternal significance is ever accomplished apart from prayer. Yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that it is spent on your pleasures. James chapter 4, 2 and 3. Then, okay, the first one is dependence. Express to the Lord dependence on Him for every area of our church. Finances, wisdom, and ministry. We got to ask God. God, You're the one. You build your church. Growth and help. Ask the Lord to send people who need to find Jesus Christ, who need to grow in their relationship with Jesus Christ, and or who can help with our ministry to the Clearfield, Kerwinsville area. We need to ask God to bring people to our church. New location. That's for the future. Ask the Lord to provide the church with a new location that will allow for greater ministry. Here's number three. Now, this is a new one. And I really thought about this because one of the things that hinders us is the reputation of our building. A name in the community. Ask the Lord to give us a new name, reputation, in the Kerwinsville-Clearfield community. Pray that we will be known as a church that loves God and loves people. A church of real people where anyone can come and find Jesus Christ to learn and walk in obedience. I hear two things when I hear about our church. Who are you? Where are you? Nobody knows who we are. And then number two, oh, that place. Well, neither one of them's good. We need to ask God to give us, and it's a biblical thing. God said many times in the Old Testament, I will give you a name. Well, give us a name, Lord. Give us a new reputation. Finances. Ask the Lord to provide finances for the following areas. Current operation of our church. Outreach for those who need to know Jesus Christ and a future new location. You know, we need finances is not just so that we can operate, folks. Finances is so that we can have things so that we can invite people to try to reach out to them for the gospel. Do you understand? Greater ministry. Ask the Lord to give our church greater ministry in our area so that people can find salvation in Jesus Christ. And then Sunday, ask the Lord that He would glorify Himself through our church in finding a new location and greater ministry. Those are things that you can be praying about. And here's the thing. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand or you're going to pray about. That's your decision. But the reality is this. It's going to take more than just attending. It's going to take more than just attending. If you own the vision of what we are and what we're supposed to be, the least you can do is pray. But it's actually the greatest thing you can do. Here's the second point of conclusion I have. It's recognizing that you're the church. The church isn't me. It's not me. This isn't George's church. The church is 76 years old. I've only been here 15 years. The church isn't me. The church is you. Did you realize that? The church is you. In fact, the scripture says, Ephesians chapter 4, says that a pastor is given to the church as a gift to equip the church, to equip the people to do the work of the ministry. To equip you, to encourage you, to help you to do what we're talking about here about you reaching out. You're the church. It's about you. And if Kerwinsville Christian Church exists, it's because you want it to exist. That's reality. Let me pray, and then we'll have our Q&A.